Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting from the Ante Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A-Team. It's Friday, March 15th. Welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and I'm still coming to you from Southeast Kansas. It's been really nice to be here, but when we get back to Virginia, it'll almost be time to play that March Patreon game. It's been scheduled for Thursday, March 21st, and it should be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, providing I didn't make a mistake setting it up again this time. But speaking of that Patreon game, I do have a couple of Patreon members I'd like to give a shout out to. Rob, Oliver, and Ben all joined us recently. I hope to see you guys all in the game on the 21st. This month's magazine has been a little slow being released this month, but I'm still excited to see it coming together. We have Matt Savage as our feature, and he has some fun things coming up that he's talking about. I'm always excited when I release a new issue, but I really can't wait for you guys to see this one. My plan at this point is to get back into Virginia next week, barring any other issues. Then it'll be good to get back to work on some of those pieces that we were working on and had to put on hold. It'll be good to get back to working on growing the community. That's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle. How's it going? That good. That's how good it's going.
It's going very well. Just got to experience one of my very first hailstorms in Kansas, if you're a Weather Channel watcher. We did not get the softball or golf ball size. We got the marble and pea-sized hail, but we've gotten to see some pretty cool, wacky weather this week.
I think I scared her a little bit because I said...
Oh, you didn't just scare me.
I said...
You put the fear of God in
you
me.
You might be able to experience a tornado here in Kansas. And she said, what?
And it was beyond what I said, do not mess with me right now. For those of you that do not know, the first time I ever had COVID was in 2021 on a business trip stuck in Kansas with an actual tornado going by my hotel room that I was not able to come out.
20-plus miles away.
You can see because it's so flat, it looks like it's closer. And if you are an East Coaster who has never experienced a tornado, it was scary. When the front desk calls and asks you to get in the bathtub and put a mattress over you because you're not allowed to come out of your room, you'd be a little afraid too. So anyhow, this week has been better than that. It's been really nice to still be here in Kansas with family. And to be with your dad during this time, it's been really fun, actually, this week. Just when it's been the three of us, we've had some funny, good conversation, and it's been nice.
Yeah. It's funny, though. Everywhere we go, there's somebody talking about the game, the card game of that area.
Right. It's almost like a dialect or a colloquialism or something like that. But, yeah, we found out a new one this week.
Yeah, well, when we were in Louisiana, we kept saying we were going to talk about Boo-Ray.
Yeah.
Because that was the one that they mentioned.
Boo-Ray?
And we never talked about it. We just never got it fitted in. But here, it's pitch. And I remember it being a game when I was growing up, never really paid that much attention to it, but there have been a couple of mentions of Pitch while we've been out here.
Well, so, and then what's this wild, crazy one that everybody's talking about? I'm going to butcher it. Balatro.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. B-O.
B-A-L-A-T-R-O.
See, I don't even know how to spell it.
I mean, on Steam, it is 97% positive reviews out of 17,272 reviews. People are going crazy about it. It's basically poker deck building. So the description, I mean, you played it today, but the description says it's a hypnotically satisfying deck builder where you play illegal poker hands, discover game-changing jokers, and trigger adrenaline-pumping outrageous combos.
I mean, that might have been a little bit of a pump up for the game, but they are correct. Like, it is a deck building game. It's kind of like poker solitaire to some degree too, because you're not playing against other people. Mm-hmm. You're playing against you have to beat a score. So
instead of beating an opponent, you're beating points,
right? And you build these points based on your poker hands. And then you have different cards that give you more points, and you can do different things because, like, if you play this special card, mm-hmm. then you get to pick two of the cards in your hand, and one of them will turn into the other. So you can, like, if you have a 9 and an 8 and you need them both to be 9s, then you play that special card and you
get both 9s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot to it, and there's definitely a ton of strategy in there, so I can understand why people are kind of going crazy for it. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of strategy, and it's fun, but
well, developer Local Thunk is the one who released it on the 20th of February this year, and it is going off the charts right now. So, yeah. I mean, don't look forward to something high graphically satisfying. It definitely took me back to the early video game-esque feel. But I think it's the strategy and the new twist on the game that people are super excited about.
Yeah, definitely. And, it's grown so big already that they have it on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, wow.
They have it on the PlayStation, you know, it's out there.
Maybe we need to add a Balatro game to our monthly Patreon something or other. We'll have to see about that.
But also, I don't know if you saw this, but not far from here, like a few hours from here, in Missouri.
So many ways to pronounce that state here.
It was in Jefferson City, Missouri. A scuba dive shop. They raised money for one of their team members.
Oh, you sent this to me.
Yeah. And so they put on a underwater poker tournament.
So cool.
And they've done it for 7 years. Well, this was their 7th year. And
local YMCA or something, right? So they could see in the water.
Right.
But how do they keep the cards and their chips?
So I guess,
I didn't get a chance to read the full article. So
I guess the cards were weighted is what they said. I don't know how you weight cards, but they were. And they keep their poker chips in a little like fish net. It was.
I can see mine going all over the YMCA pool right now. Very cool.
But you know what you don't have in that? You don't have people shuffling all those chips at the table.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm perfectly okay with that. Take your worm elsewhere and stop making so much noise.
Yeah.
No, I like the worm. I do.
I see.
It drives most serious poker players crazy, but I love it.
Keeps them all. If you guys don't remember what the worm is, then you have to go back a few episodes. But it's people just laying their chips out literally. Instead of vertically, they lay them horizontally. And yeah, I'm one of those. It drives me crazy.
Yeah. Like, anyhow, that's a really cool thing that they're doing. That scuba business. 7 years in a row, they raise money for, I think this year it was for someone in their crew that's battling cancer.
Yeah, so part of the money went to one of their members. But in the past, they've raised money for the Shriners Children's Hospital.
That's so cool. Bet on better, guys. Way to go.
Exactly. Speaking of bet on better, Phil Hellmuth.
Always doing that.
Yeah, he's always involved in some kind of charity stuff. This particular one is another one of his loves because he is a huge Golden State Warriors fan.
Oh, yeah. So this is going to be the best day of his life.
Yeah.
So he's, or best day of the year because he's hosting. I think he's emceeing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was talking about, I think, on Instagram or one of the social media things, he was talking about, you know, he's got tickets to the game on Thursday, which would be, you know, yesterday now.
Right.
And Friday
he's going to
emceeing this charity tournament.
Which Steph Curry did really well. I did read the headlines for this. Steph Curry did really well until he was beat out by somebody. Who was it?
Draymond Green.
Oh, because he took lessons from Phil.
Phil, yeah. So they were I don't know, I guess they've done this since at least 2019, but Steph Curry was the last Warrior player standing in 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022. So much like making threes,
he was
killing it at the poker table. But Draymond Green beat him last year. And like you said, he took some lessons from Mr. Phil Hellmuth himself.
Well, we'll have to see how it goes tonight.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see who steps up this time. And they always raise money for good. And along with that.
Yeah, a little closer to home. We were unable to attend this event because we're in Kansas. But our buddy Mike was there in Charlottesville.
Yeah, so gratitude, Charlottesville. They've been betting on better every year for the past few years with a charity poker tournament that benefits police officers and veterans that need help in the area. Yeah. So they call it the Poker for Patriots tournament. And it took place last week. We gave out, I think we mentioned Mike was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And
we just didn't have the results.
Yeah. He was there. He took some pictures. We'll have them in the magazine. Which
is coming out soon, guys. Yeah. Thanks for being patient with us. This month is, there's been a few surprises around each corner. So, and then also we've got our ambassador out on the road in the Winnie.
Yeah.
Hal Hyatt has been taking the tables by storm in Vegas this week and last week. He's been getting some great photos. We're hoping to get a really cool article about him and his dog, Millie, and all their adventures. He's played quite a bit at lots of different venues.
Yeah.
He's in Resorts World.
Oh, yeah. Right now he's in Resorts World.
Right. There's several places he's been visiting this week. And we want to also thank a new print shop in Vegas for just helping us out. We needed to get some business cards out to Hal. And we missed an opportunity when he was in Colorado. And so we called a place in Vegas and Redline Print Group. We are beyond grateful for how quick your turnaround time was. So thanks so much for helping us out and getting Hal his business cards.
Yeah, they did a lot for us. And I actually made a mistake in the first draft. So they were able to turn it around despite my mistake.
So if you're in the Vegas area, check out Redline Printing and tell them Manny Up sent you just as a thank you because we're super grateful.
Yeah, really, really grateful for them.
I think we'll call Hal into Table Talk next week. He's got some great stuff going on.
Yeah, we need to.
He's on his upswing.
Yeah, he's – I know there for a while toward the end of 2023, he was having a rough go with – some bad beats, but things seem to be looking up there as they tend to do in poker. It's a funny roller coaster, this game. But I can't think of anything else. Anything else you want to shout out?
I don't think so. Looking forward to be back with our dog and our cat soon. Yeah. We've been missing our animal companions.
We are going to try and see a few more of these casinos in this area.
A Buffalo Run.
Buffalo Run, yeah. Need to get in there and talk to them.
We got to take Dad and let him play the slots a little bit more before we get out of here.
Exactly.
Brings him so much joy. Well, Joe, it's always a pleasure being around the table with you.
Likewise.
See you next week.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. He joins us each week to say how he would roll in situations that come up in your game. And he's with us again this week. How's it going, Elliot?
Things are going pretty well, thanks. How you been, Joe?
Oh, not too bad. We had a pretty good storm come through here in the Midwest, so always good to sit out on the patio and watch that come through.
Nice.
Our call of floor this week sent in by Matt Boykin, and he says, this comes from a cash game at a large, well-known casino. And he says, I bet the turn, one opponent calls. We get to the river heads up. The under the gun player checks. I check back from the cutoff because I have second pair weak kicker. And under the gun has been a calling station all day. I just want to see if I win at showdown. So after I check, I pause waiting for under the gun to table his hand. But he just sits there. I announce louder that I checked. The dealer says, need to show to win, not really directed to either of us. And almost immediately after that statement, the dealer continues by telling me I have to show first. I say he's first to act by position. She gets annoyed and says that that doesn't matter. You were last aggressor. So I want to keep the game moving, so I table my hand, but tell the dealer that shouldn't matter. When the aggressive action was on a prior street. In this last betting round, there was no aggressive action, so it should show down in positional order. Now, Matt does say all of this happened pretty quickly, maybe 10 seconds total from River to me showing my cards. So it did seem like the dealer was a little bit impatient and annoyed for what I did not think was a large amount of time. Under the gun happens to have showed his hand at the same time I did, and I ended up winning the pot. I still tipped the dealer, but I've always thought it was standard to show down in order on a river that had no action. Does that also apply to cash games, or am I confusing a tournament rule here?
First, let's talk about 10 seconds. 10 seconds can be a long time. Sit and stare at a wall for 10 seconds. You'll swear you've done it for half an hour. So, especially in the dealer's perspective, that 10 seconds is valuable. I mean, you got people wasting everybody's time. She's trying to get another handout and make her income for the day. And you got players just sitting around refusing to turn their hand over when there's no more action. So the dealer is not wrong here in the fact that, folks, make up your minds. Either get rid of your cards or turn them over.
Right.
The rule itself is as you've explained, Matt. When the final betting round goes check, check, that's it. It goes in positional order. And that's pretty standard American rule. And it's pretty standard TDA rule. So it applies to both cash and tournaments. There are many rooms overseas that use last aggressive action. And hell, there might still be rooms in the United States that are doing that too. That's not been the case in a lot of places and is generally not how it's handled in the U.S., but that doesn't mean it wasn't so. If it's a large, well-known casino with a poker room, I would have to guess that's not the rule. And this goes to poor dealer training or poor supervision of the dealers. But it's annoying. I mean, shoot. On the other hand, you had a right to turn your hand over after the other player in this pot. It's okay to call the floor. Get a clarification on the rules. The floor is not going to be too thrilled that people are wasting everybody's time. They want the button to go around the table and the rake to be dropped in a timely fashion. They don't want people to just sit there not doing a thing. Calling the floor lets them know that this kind of crap is happening. I don't put up with it. I'm pretty merciless when it comes to this kind of stuff. Don't waste our time. The players want to see another hand. If you're playing for a bad beat or playing for high hands or any other promo, if you're out of the hand, you got to see another hand to win the promo. So they want more hands. As the casino, if we're not dealing hands, I'm not getting more rake. So the casino wants more hands. If the dealer's not dealing more hands, they're not making more tips. So they want more hands. So it's in nobody's best interest to waste this time. So letting the floor know that this time is being wasted is going to result in the floor stepping up and actually saying something to the players to keep it going. This kind of stuff doesn't need to happen in poker. Correctly using your position to hopefully see your opponent's cards. And that's part of the game. And that's allowed. And you would be in the other part of it. If you weren't under the gun, you would be expected to show first. And you sound like the kind of player who obviously does show when it's time. So it's fair for everyone. Everyone gets the button. Everyone is under the gun. Everyone has to show or gets to see the cards that they're playing against. That's the way the game works, and it's fair for everybody. So letting the floor know that this is happening is fair for everybody and is desirable. So don't keep it to yourself. Let us know. And don't take the wrong answer as gospel. The dealer was obviously either unaware of the rules or that is the house rule. But either way, it's not something that you should have abided.
When the pot's, you know, just a tiny little pot in the middle, like, that's not the time that I want to get, you know, kind of a tit for tat kind of thing. But that's the time to maybe find out what that rule is so that later when you're in a bigger pot, it's not as big of a deal. We've already determined this is who is supposed to show their hand. Just do it.
Agreed. So this way, if it happens again, the more effective and stern penalties can be put in place.
Right.
Yeah. You certainly don't want this to happen in a large pot. And again, this is another way of keeping the peace. When these rules are fairly enforced, you're not getting people angry because they're showing hands they shouldn't be showing. They're showing hands out of order. They're mostly preventing people getting slow rolled, which is when the fists and the knives come out. You don't want that to happen. So yeah, when this rule is in place for many reasons, mostly fairness and, well, violence prevention. So yeah, to get this done, especially, yeah, like you said, I think that's a great point. In the small pots, let's get this clarified now. So when the big pot develops, we don't have to go through this crap again.
Right.
And from my personal experience, when I played, I've stuck hard and fast to this. If the guy under the gun refuses to show their cards when it's their turn, I'll sit there with him, refusing to show. And then you know you're either up for a slow roller or a guy's just too ashamed to show his cards. And it's like, sir, you're under the gun. I've got position. It was a check betting round. You're supposed to show. If you don't want to show, here's the muck. You can put your cards there and I'll take the pot. You don't have to show your cards ever. I promise you. But you're not going to win this pot without showing them. So that's the way it works. If you don't want to show, get rid of them. I'll take the pot. You don't have to show them. Nobody has to embarrass you ever. But you're not going to see my cards while you still have cards. That's not how this works.
Like you said, most of the time, it's a pretty hard and fast rule. I've never seen anywhere that treated it as a tournament rule or different in a cash game. So
that would be pretty uncommon. Mostly for something like that, the house rule would apply in both situations, not one or the other.
Matt, I really appreciate you sending that in. It's a good discussion because I do think it's something that gets confused. Just because there's aggression on a street prior does not continue over onto the next street. So
exactly. Information from prior betting rounds is not to be brought up. It's just that simple. In an active betting round, who raised last betting round? The dealer's not supposed to tell you, and the players aren't either. It's up to the right. Players to pay attention. It's one player to a hand. So if we're not supposed to give the information in that spot, why is the information now relevant when we're trying to award the pot?
Yeah. That's a fair point. So, yeah, Matt, I hope that clears everything up. And Elliot, as always, I appreciate the perspective. And If anyone has a call the floor that they would like Elliot to say how he would rule, send it to podcast@annieupmagazine.com. And we'll do it again next week. How's that sound?
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We're here with another Hand of the Week with Patrick. How's it going, man?
I am doing well, my friend. And you?
I'm doing all right. Obviously, I'm not in my normal setup, but what's the weather like in Virginia right now?
It is so nice that multiple clients have asked to play golf. So I have had to say no today because there's too much responsibility, but it will definitely be played mid-70s, a little bit of, you know, wind. It's still early spring, so there's not humidity yet. So it's a beautiful thing. Little man was out jumping on a trampoline, screaming at the top of his lungs yesterday. Life is good back here in Virginia. We can't wait to have you back.
Soon. Very soon.
I'm glad to hear it.
Let's throw out a shout-out to Jackpot Digital, sponsor of Hand of the Week. I was actually talking about this with a few people the other day, and the general consensus was we all wanted one in our house.
Oh, yeah. No brainer. Got to do it.
Could you imagine what our home games would be like? I mean, we wouldn't have to have a dealer. The hands moving quickly. I think it'd be awesome.
It would be like a new member of the friend group is basically what it would come down to. it would just be, I mean, it would, you'd put a casino in your house or wherever you're playing. I mean, that's pretty much what you're doing in by getting that. I mean, that's, and anywhere else that's grabbing these things up. I mean, that'd be so cool.
It would. I don't know if that fits in their business model right now, but maybe we've uncovered a new market for them.
Listen, if there's market share to be had, I bet they will grab it. Yeah, wow, that'd be so much fun. What a cool thought.
One other thing before we jump into this hand for this week, I had a pretty good response to the hand last week.
Sweet.
You know, we played my own hand last week, and so I think I really want to say keep that up to the listeners, because, you know, really think of this as a community and we're all trying to get better. So I really loved the feedback that I got from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can share it too. I mean, the more feedback we get, I mean, for everyone that's sending this in, you know, we'll give the feedback from other players too. I mean, it's not just, you know, you and, you know, the novice over here, you know, novice, but like, you know, if you're sending in feedback, we'd be glad to share. You know, the consensus was this, or, you know, we had a, you know, a split of, you know, this is what people thought, you know, whatever the case may be. So yeah, keep sending it in, right? Interact with us.
Absolutely. Yeah. In this particular case, some of them said it was just a cooler and that I shouldn't worry about it, but
right.
Some of them thought that I should have raised or bet more, not raised, but bet more on various streets. One was really surprised that it was live and not online. Because online, you've got to really push people to get them to fold. But yeah. I'm going to give out some gold stars to two listeners, actually, because Vinny and Aaron both pointed out a mistake that I made pre-flop, where I should have raised more. Because typically when I make my raise preflop, I'm going to account for the fact that there's a limper before me, and I did not do it in this particular hand for whatever reason. I don't even know why I didn't, but it was a mistake for sure. And would it have made a difference to the outcome? I don't know, but definitely would have changed the betting from there, and I probably would have ended up getting it all in on the turn instead of the river. So
yeah. You're probably right. I mean, that's a great call. I mean, that's changing the whole dynamic from the get go. I mean, you may not have even gotten that far. That's a great call. I didn't even think about that. I mean, well, I kind of forgot about it, but interesting. Yeah. That's a good call.
Yep. So kudos to those two for pointing that out. And this week, our hand is sent in by Gary Rollins.
All right.
We are playing 1-2,
Okay.
And our stack is roughly $300. He didn't say how long we've been there, but looks like we made a little bit up to this point. And in this particular hand, the under the gun opens to $7, which he says is a pretty small open because the standard open for this table has been between $12 and $15.
That's a pricey open. What table are you sitting at? Playing 1-2.
Yeah, I think they have a 2-5 table disguised as a 1-2 table.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That sounds about right. It's like, hey, we're just going to play 1-2. It's no big deal. And then you're – okay. So normally it's what you said, 10 to 12?
12 to 15.
12 to 15. Good
yeah.
Gosh.
But in this hand, the end of the gun opens to 7. Middle position calls, and it gets around to us. He says, we've been playing pretty tight, I would imagine, with $12 to $15 opens. And we sit on the button with the ace of clubs, queen of spades.
Ace of clubs, queen of spades. I like that. Well, yeah. I mean, my God, I'm calling. I'm just calling. I like that, but at the same point, if Gary hadn't said that we've been playing tight, you know, then maybe I do come a little bit over the top, but a call is good enough for me there.
I think that exactly for the reason that you're saying, if we've been playing pretty tight, that's a reason for us to raise.
Explain yourself.
If we've been playing tight, our raise is going to look more strong.
Okay, fair.
So I definitely want to put more in there. This is definitely a point that I would raise.
How big?
We already talked about my mistake in the last one, so we got to account for that limper in this one. Normally, I would go 4 times what they bet, which would be $28, but I'm going to go 5 times for $35.
Big 3-5. All right.
Gary was close. He went close to what I did. He makes it 30.
Okay.
Which I think that's all right. And both players call.
Interesting.
So with the blinds in there, there should be $93 in the pot.
Yep.
And the flop is the 10 of diamonds, 7 of spades, 5 of clubs. Both players check to us. And Gary actually asks a question here before he says what he does. He asks a question. He says, I just don't understand when to check versus when to c-bet or continuation bet on boards that aren't great for our range. So,
well, first off, that's a great question. And I was going to say something along those lines and kind of, you know, bring up the topic of conversation. So obviously, you know, so ace of clubs, queen of spades in our hand, we miss there. Yeah, I mean, right. Swing and miss like the Kansas City Royals. I mean, it's bad. So that's a great point, though, that Gary brings up is, you know, okay, you know, when do you go that route? You know, checks to us, from what I have learned and what we've talked about, you know, over many episodes, you still want to, you know, speak your narrative. And the narrative was we were strong. So in that instance, you know, the one side of it, I say, you know, you're probably looking at, you know, somewhere in that 30 to 40 range, you know, bet-wise. But at the same time, we've got 2 checks in front of us. We missed on the board. Why not see, you know, it for free? So I would check.
So I think here's my thought.
Okay.
The good thing about raising pre-flop when you're holding something like ace-queen, ace-king, ace-jack, something like that, when the flop comes out low cards, right?
Right.
Then nobody knows what we have. They can put us on a range of cards, but nobody knows what we have. We could have pocket pairs or ace king, ace queen, ace jack, you know, those kinds of things. Why not represent
holding tens?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, why not represent that? We have the best of both worlds. We can represent an over pair or ace king, ace queen. So why not c-bet here?
That's why you're the pro. that's a very, very good point. I like that. I like that a lot. And that's something to, you know, hold on to for every novice that's out there listening.
The other thought to that is if we c-bet here and then something comes out, like let's say the ace or the queen comes out, right? Then we can kind of misrepresent our hand and check and get them to lead into us. So make it look like we're scared of that ace or that queen and then get them to put the money in. Because if we check here and ace comes and we bet, we're pretty much telling everybody what our hand is, right?
Okay, I was just thinking. I go, okay, so let's say we follow suit here, we check, and the turn comes out, and it is ace, queen, king, jack, whatever it is, and we do bet. I was literally just thinking, I'm like, okay, well, you might as well just put a, you know, a card stuck to our forehead and says, hey, I got it.
Exactly.
So, all right, that's good to know. That's good info. Okay. All right, so in this instance, what would you go with bet-wise?
Half pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, 45-ish, 40, yeah. You know, 46, something
45,
like that.
50 okay. bucks, yeah, somewhere in there. But as you can guess from the question, Gary checks.
Yeah.
In fact, his exact words are, he says, I chicken out and check because it's three-way.
I hate to say it, but I'm the same boat as Gary at the moment. I would have done the same thing. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out, and then we'll go from there. So, all right, so he checks.
There's still $93 in the pot, and the turn is the three of hearts.
All right.
Both players again check to us.
So we're kind of playing two different hands here. So, like, you know, what we had talked about, what we could have done, let's just play that hypothetical real quick. So let's say we would have done a half pot. In this instance, the three comes out, we could continue along that route, or, you know, and we probably should to keep representing what we have, you know, even if it's not half pot, right. You know, I bet that route. The fact that he checked, and now it checks again, he checked after the flop, and it checks around to him now. I will say, I think he's in a great place now. You know, we're still, you know, if they're holding tens, you know, maybe there's no flush out there. You know, obviously, you know, they could have had a straight draw as well, but, you know, they're still not necessarily there yet. But I think here you're probably going the route that you would have gone after the flop is at least a half pot, correct? I mean, that's my thought process. 45, 50 bucks, maybe a little bit more.
This becomes a tough spot here because if we don't bet on the flop, it's a lot harder to represent a hand now.
True.
Checking twice, pretty much, again, we're yelling at the table saying we have ace king or ace queen or something like that. But if we checked the flop and bet the turn, then what are we really saying?
We're representing 4-6.
But are you making it 30 bucks before the flop with 4-6?
You shouldn't be. Yeah, this is where it goes back to it. This is how the story, you got to find the story you want to tell, and you got to make your bets, you know, show it.
So let's think about it from the standpoint of what can we represent if we bet here? Is there a situation where we would have checked, if we would have had, say, ace seven, and we made middle pair on that flop, maybe we check that. I mean, he said we were playing tight, so maybe.
Or smaller, you know, pocket pair, eights, nines, yes, exactly. You know, something like that.
Eights, nines, yeah. So I think there's probably still enough there that we can take a shot at it. Maybe, like you said, around that half pot.
Yeah.
Gary, however, checks again, so... Okay. Now two streets that have been checked. And the river is the three of diamonds. So the board pairs, they both check to us again.
In Gary's hand, we're going to check. Throw your cards over. We're going to see why you guys played it this way. And we're going to, you know, hope ace high threes work out.
Yeah. All we can do. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely just hoping that we can win with ace high at showdown.
Here, let's play a little trivia real quick. We haven't done this before. What do you make? What do you think the other guys are holding?
Somebody else probably has ace high. The under the gun probably has like ace nine, something like that, suited.
So like ace nine, ace eight.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of where my mindset was. And the other one that I was thinking is lower pocket pairs is why I brought it up. You know, they're holding sixes or they're holding eight or nines.
That's exactly what I'm thinking with middle position. Yeah. They called and then called our bet. So they've got some kind of small pocket. They could even have pocket fours or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Anything that they're not super proud of, but come along and hope to catch a set or something.
Yep.
But Gary does check. The under the gun shows ace of spades, jack of clubs. So he pretty much had them nailed.
Yep.
Middle position shows six of hearts, six of diamonds. So
there you
yeah,
two I pair mean, takes it down. There we literally we had it. So this is where it's going to get interesting, and this is where you normally go that route. So like, okay, so we pretty much had them made. If we go back, and this is part of where Gary's question is okay, where do we bet, and who would have stayed? Right, that's the question on the table.
Right. So. And actually, that's exactly what Gary's asking here, too. He says, am I really supposed to fire C-bets on these boards multi-way?
Huh. There you go. That's literally what I was thinking.
He says, it's so frustrating to see pocket sixes take it down. And I think the answer in general is yes. You have to. Obviously, there is no always in poker, right? You're not always going to do that, but I would say the majority of the time, yeah, you're going to need to do that. You're going to have to fire a C bet there.
Yeah, it probably takes out the sixes. Your ace jack might stay with you because it's ace jack and you're sitting there with ace queen. Maybe they're going to try to represent the same and, you know, see what else is out there, but you might lose the sixes. You might not.
Well, I'm thinking on the flop, once the flop comes out, ace jack may have just said, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm going to get out. They may have stayed. But pocket sixes, they may call that flop because, you know, we're representing much higher than that.
Yeah.
So the pocket sixes may have stayed, but I think if we put in two streets of betting,
yeah,
they probably eventually fold. I think that the main thing that you have to take away is there's no way to get to multiple streets here without first firing that C bet on the flop.
You're absolutely right. And that, you know, that answers the question and good lesson for, you know, anyone out there. I mean, that's how you need to go about it.
Yeah. Because especially with us having a tight image, like he said, right, then multiple streets of betting is going to look super strong. And you're putting a lot of pressure on those pocket sixes. So I think that's the way to do it.
Absolutely. I would agree. You know, you hate to lose to sixes, but.
Yeah. I know it gets a little bit scary because you're having to put in a big portion of your stack, but it's the way you're going to grow that stack for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Plus, you're also sitting at a, like you said, a 2-5 table disguised as a 1-2. So that's quite interesting in itself. Yeah. 12 to $15 bets. You invite me to that game, I'd be like, hey, man, thanks for the invite. Leave my number for this one next time.
Fair.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, all right. Well, yeah, well done, Gary. I mean, live and learn, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, poorly played. You just got to put the C bets in and go from there.
Yep. So, and again, just like last week, you know, if anybody would like to put their input in, send us the feedback. Like I said, it's a community. So let's all learn together. And if anyone has a hand of the week that they would like Patrick and I to break down, also send that to podcast@annieupmagazine.com. Patrick, appreciate you joining me again. See you next week.
It is always my pleasure. Signing off, and hopefully this time we do it next week. You'll be back on East Coast time.
There you go.
Sounds good. See you, bud.
It's time for Joe's One Outer.
In poker, money can be won and lost, essentially with the turn of a card. But there's another facet of the game that extends far above the competition or monetary gain, where the shuffle of chips is also accompanied by philanthropy, where players bet not just on themselves, but they bet on better. Charity poker draws amateur players and seasoned professionals to the tables for a cause that's far greater than their own benefit. It leverages our shared passion to make a positive impact, and it's also been an important focus for AnyUp. Poker, in general, attracts a diverse group of participants, from CEOs to college students, celebrities to everyday people. It's this broad appeal, mixed with the allure of playing alongside a poker pro or celebrity, that allows us to mobilize this community of players that also share a love for the game and a desire to help others. We come together to raise substantial funds or raise awareness of a myriad of causes. Beyond all of this, there's this sense of camaraderie and goodwill within the poker community. The shared experience of playing for something greater than ourselves creates a connection that extends far beyond the confines of a poker table. I want to end this week's show by asking you, how are you betting on better? Let me know about events near you that you're participating in or that are important to you. That's today's One Outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The AnyUp Podcast is a production of AnyUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcasts@AnyUpMagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@AnyUpMagazine.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.